And we are looking for the heart of Saturday night. That's Tom Waits, and I am Richard Serrett, coming to you from Coast Toronto Affiliate Talk Radio AM 640. Well, from the Bank of Canada conspiracy to perhaps another one, a mosquito-borne virus, which is prompting worldwide concern because, according to the World Health Organization, there is an alarming connection to a neurological birth disorder and its rapid spread across the globe. The World Health Organization is declaring a public health emergency. The Zika virus, transmitted by an aggressive form of a mosquito, has spread to at least 29 countries, and WHO estimates 3 million to 4 million people across the Americas will be infected with the virus in the next year. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is warning pregnant women against travel to those areas. Health officials in several of those countries are telling women to avoid pregnancy, in some cases for up to 2 years. Is this hysteria over the Zika virus justified? My guest coming up, John Rappaport, investigative medical journalist and the founder of NoMoreFakeNews.com, says, wait a minute, hold on. Let's just take a closer look. We'll come back with more of that conversation when Coast to Coast AM continues right after this. John Rappaport has worked as an investigative reporter for decades. He's the author of 5 books. He's written on medical fraud, deep politics, and health issues for newspapers and magazines in the U.S., Europe, including CBS Health Watch, Spin, Stern, and LA Weekly. And he is the founder of the website NoMoreFakeNews.com. John Rappaport, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hey, how are you, my friend?
Great, Richard. Good to be here with you again.
All right. Zika virus. We've known for this about the Zika virus for some time. How far back does it go in terms of media coverage?
Well, it was discovered in 1947-48. And since then, it's only been associated with very mild transient illness. Very few symptoms. You leave it alone. People get better. Then all of a sudden, we have this report that it is the cause of birth defect called microcephaly, where babies are born with small heads and brain damage. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, this report is being made. So my job was to go in and see what's what, how much proof is there, what evidence is there for this assertion. And the first thing that crops up, and people can read this on any number of mainstream outlets, is that the World Health Organization itself, which is spearheading this whole global hysteria about the Zika virus, states that the causation of microcephaly by Zika has not been proven. They say this over and over again to cover themselves. But then they talk about strong suspicion and so forth, and therefore they have to issue all of these warnings and et cetera, et cetera.
And we're talking about how many confirmed cases in Brazil or the South Americas?
We are talking about, as of the latest report, 17 cases where researchers say there is some relationship between Zika virus and microcephaly.
Well, that's interesting, because CNN, for example, is saying 400 cases. You're saying it's actually 17. Why the discrepancy?
CNN is saying that there are 400 confirmed cases of microcephaly in Brazil, because that was the latest report. I have some updates about that. But that's, you see, at first they were saying there are over 4,000 cases of microcephaly in Brazil. Then all of a sudden, the researchers decided to go back in and look at their own work, and they came back and said, well, wait a minute, actually, we've only found 404 confirmed cases of microcephaly, and of those, we can only find 17 cases in which there is any relationship to the Zika virus.
And what exactly is microcephaly? It's a neurological birth defect, correct?
Well, yes, it has neurological implications, but the obvious sign is a baby is born with a very small head, and there is brain impairment of some kind, and, you know, which means basically brain damage. So that's the situation, that's the condition that's being cited here. And that's what's causing all of these warnings to pregnant women, et cetera, you know, if you have the Zika virus or if you contract the Zika virus, then your baby could be born with this condition, small head, brain damage.
Well, how common or uncommon is microcephaly?
Well, that is now a great confusion because there are many sources that say, for example, that every year in the U.S. there are 25,000 cases of microcephaly, babies being born with this condition. But then you look further in the literature and you find other reports as low as 1,000 cases, between 1,000 and 25,000. So the inference here is it depends on what your definition is of microcephaly. In other words, in measuring a baby's head at birth, how small does it have to be in order to be considered microcephaly? And they're talking about centimeters of diameter or circumference and so forth. And these definitions vary. And according to the definitions, and also pure guesswork, they come up with a number. So in the U.S., as I say, the variance could be huge. Also in Brazil and in all other countries. And by the way, we have no statistics of any kind in Brazil prior to 2012 on how many cases of microcephaly in Brazil. So we really don't know whether we're looking at a huge upsurge of microcephaly in Brazil or not.
So in Brazil, you have a population of about what, 200 million people?
200 million in Brazil and, of course, over 300 million in the U.S. So one thing we do know for sure about microcephaly is they jumped the gun in Brazil, for sure, in declaring this a massive outbreak or epidemic of microcephaly because they didn't have the numbers to back that up. They had 4,000 suspected cases of microcephaly, and then the researchers narrowed that down to 404 confirmed cases. And now a new study has come out by a Dr. Sandra Mattis in Brazil just the other day since I've talked to you last that says in northeastern Brazil over the last 3 years, there have been somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 cases a year of microcephaly in that region. I communicated with Dr. Mattis and I asked her to account for the difference in the numbers of microcephaly cases, 404 versus 2,000 to 4,000 a year. And she said, well, we'll just have to wait to try to sort all of this out. Well, while this is all being sorted out, we have hysteria around the world among women who are afraid to travel to 22, 29 countries. Afraid of getting pregnant. There are even in Central and South America women who go out to sea beyond the 3 mile limit in ships because abortion is severely restricted or even outlawed in their countries, and they're getting abortions. Women who are in early pregnancy who know nothing about what we're talking about here tonight, they're just afraid. And so they're given a drug out at sea, they come back. The baby is gone. The baby will never be born. It's massive insanity.
And these women may or may not have even had these mild symptoms of the Zika virus. And I understand that they are quite mild. It could be a rash. It could be joint pain that goes away in a matter of days.
That's right. And even if they did, as I say, there is no proof. Zero proof that the Zika virus causes microcephaly. Because if you're saying, for example, look, we have 404 cases of this birth defect in babies, and we've done tests on these babies or on blood samples and so forth, and we can only find any trace whatsoever of the Zika virus in 17 of those 404, that is actually evidence that the Zika virus does not cause microcephaly. Because in order to say that a virus causes a condition, you have to be able to go in there and find it in the overwhelming majority or all of the cases that you're talking about of whatever condition it is. Otherwise, you go back to the drawing board. But in this instance, that was not done. In fact, just the reverse was done. Based on zero evidence, the World Health Organization has declared this state of emergency, and people are in fear, especially, you know, women are in fear. The whole thing has been completely blown up out of proportion.
What other causes are there for microcephaly? What other possible causes?
Yes, very good question. It's very clear in the literature. Any insult to the developing fetal brain during pregnancy can cause microcephaly. That means the mother has a high fever, a blow to the stomach, the expecting mother falls downstairs, a toxic pesticide, a toxic drug, street drug or medical drug, a toxic vaccine, anything that creates an insult to the developing fetal brain can result in microcephaly. This has been known, you know, forever. And so this is all being ignored, and it's all being said to result from the Zika virus. You know, so there is now this great fear, you see. But there's also intentional deception here, because since the Zika virus has been known since 1947, we don't know how long it's existed on the planet, 100,000, 200,000 years, who knows, right?
As long as there's been mosquitoes, perhaps.
Sure, as long as there's been mosquitoes. And so this virus has traveled around the world, you know, many, 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 many times. You could probably find evidence of it in all sorts of people from one end of the globe to the other. So what? Harmless virus. But now, you see, the World Health Organization can say, well, we just discovered three more cases of Zika in, you know, the Philippines, and we found a case in Texas, and we found three in France, and so forth. No, and they're using this to say that it's spread. It was already there. It's been there forever. So this is intentional deception. These researchers know very well that they're not talking about a sudden spread of this virus. It's been everywhere all the time. It causes practically nothing. So what? Its connection to microcephaly has not only not been established, but so far the evidence is clear that it's not the cause of microcephaly. So any intelligent, rational researcher would back way off at this point and say, there is no proven connection between this relatively harmless virus and this birth defect. We jumped the gun. People made assumptions they shouldn't have made. But of course, this never happens inside the medical cartel. Once the genie is out of the bottle, by which I mean once the propaganda campaign begins, it's all over. It's just expanding the fear and, you know, the promotion of the fact that there is a state of emergency, and they never retract what they said to begin with.
John Rappaport is with us, medical investigative reporter and the founder of NoMoreFakeNews.com, where you can read his blogs on this very topic, the Zika virus. Now, in Brazil, and we're being told this is sort of the epicenter of this new pandemic, the Zika virus causing, they say, causing microcephaly, this birth defect with children. What then, if it's not the Zika virus, you mentioned there are myriad causes of microcephaly, but is there anything that jumps out that's particular to this region of Brazil that may be causing microcephaly if it's not Zika?
Absolutely, absolutely. There are several factors that jump out. The first is that Brazil is the largest user of pesticides in the world. Country, largest user in the world. And we are now talking about some pesticides that are used there that are banned in 22 other countries because they're just too toxic. We also know, and I've uncovered a study that connects one of these pesticides, atrazine, to microcephaly. And there is a controversial study that connects it to Roundup, the largest selling pesticide in the world, manufactured by Monsanto. There are many other pesticides being used in Brazil because we're talking about giant agrofarms, corporations, and so forth. So that immediately jumps out as, you know, the most prominent, obvious cause of microcephaly in that region in Brazil. And
Are
then
these pesticides being imported into Brazil, or are they produced in Brazil?
many are produced in Brazil. Many are produced in Brazil, but you know, there may be some that are also imported because the manufacturers know that although they're banned in 22 other countries, that Brazil will accept them. So, you know, it becomes a huge target for commerce in very dangerous pesticides.
So these would be used in Roundup Ready type crops, food staples, for example.
Yes, but we are also talking about not just ingesting it with food. We're talking about agricultural workers who are close to it in the fields, people who live near the fields where the pesticides are being sprayed in huge quantities. We're talking about runoff into the soil and the water, all of that. And so it's not merely a matter of, well, you bought some food in the market, it happens to be sprayed with pesticides. There are many other routes of transmission, so to speak. And those
Wouldn't
certainly would, you know, the workers in the fields, the communities around the giant corporate farms. The introduction of GMO crops into Brazil has resulted in a major upward surge of the use of pesticides because many of those crops absolutely require huge amounts, more amounts of pesticides. So
wouldn't
that would be the first place to look, and there are several other candidates for the cause of microcephaly that just jump right out at you.
And we will talk about some of those other possible candidates for causing this microcephaly, other than the Zika virus. Wouldn't these pesticides show up in, for example, mother's breast milk and so forth? In other words, couldn't they simply, in these cases of microcephaly, draw a more natural connection to the pesticides rather than the Zika virus? I mean, are they testing for these pesticides?
Well, you're being much too rational, Richard.
Sorry.
Yeah, please, please. We can't have that. Yeah, I mean, this is the obvious thing to do. You know, you say, well, what poisons do we have? Let's measure for them, you know. But obviously, this is not being looked at very carefully. It's not being measured. It's not the thing that is immediately seized upon as the cause. For example, in America, when is the last time that you heard of a huge, traditional, conventional medical group that said after the outbreak of something or other, well, the first thing we have to look at here is a pesticide? Like, never, never. They're always going after, quote, the virus. This is not just true in this case. I mean, I've been to this rodeo many times before with other so-called epidemics that turned out to be duds. And inevitably, and we can get into how interesting that is that it happens this way, the people in charge are always immediately looking for a virus, as if they know it's there and it's the cause, as if they have some kind of, you know, precognition about this.
Is that just bad science, or are they covering up?
Both. Both. There are many investigators, medical investigators, by which I mean researchers, who are indoctrinated to believe that whenever there's an outbreak of anything, anywhere in the world, it's got to be a virus. And as you and I have discussed before, there is a group within the Centers for Disease Control in the United States, and also a corresponding group inside the World Health Organization, which I call the medical CIA. These are doctors and researchers who are trained as specialists to be ready on call at any hour of the day or night.
All right, we'll take a time out. We'll come back with John Rappaport. No more fake news as we discuss the Zika virus hysteria. Is it a hoax? Back with more. Stay with us. Are presidents elected or selected? Well, if you're intrigued by that question, you might want to check out my live events page at strangeplanet.ca, and there you'll find all the details for my next live event, The Bilderbergs, featuring a Pulitzer Prize nominee, Daniel Estulin, the author of The True Story of the Bilderbergs. I'll be bringing Daniel to Toronto for an exclusive event on Sunday, April the 17th at the University of Toronto. And he'll present the theatrical premiere of his new documentary film, Bilderberg the Movie. If you're interested and want to order tickets, go to strangeplanet.ca and then go to the live events page, or you can order them from conspiracyculture.com and order online. I'm back with more of my conversation with medical investigative journalist John Rappaport of nomorefakenews.com as we discuss the Zika virus hoax right here on Coast to Coast AM. John Rappaport stays with us. He's worked as an investigative reporter for nearly four decades. He's the author of five books, and he has written on medical fraud, deep politics, and health issues for newspapers and magazines in the U.S. and Europe. And you can order his Matrix series of CD-ROMs at the website nomorefakenews.com. So, John, you were talking about the possible link between microcephaly and pesticides, not the Zika virus, but pesticides. What are some of the other possible candidates here? If it's not the Zika virus, what else could be causing this brain, this birth defect?
Okay, the other candidate or another candidate would be the vaccine for diphtheria pertussis, which is whooping cough, and tetanus. Freelance reporter Jim Stone has been writing about this, I think, since the end of December. This vaccine was recommended for pregnant women in Brazil in 2014, a very unusual occurrence to suddenly come out and say all pregnant women should take this vaccine. Among the ingredients in most, if not all, formulations of this vaccine is aluminum compounds, which are neurotoxic and can pass through the blood-brain barrier. And that would be enough to cause birth defects for sure. Also, we could be talking about the MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella, and live rubella virus that could be involved. There have been, of course, many vaccine campaigns in Brazil, and to the degree that pregnant women have been given vaccines, there is always threat of danger to the child, to the unborn baby. So I would put up alongside pesticides, for sure, the TDAP vaccine, definitely. And that is something else, of course, that medical authorities will never, never, ever admit or look at. High on the list.
What about just poor sanitation? And I mean, are these cases of microcephaly being found in slums, for example?
They're being found. You're right on point. They're being found, for example, in areas where there is definitely a lack of basic sanitation. Overcrowding, malnutrition. The usual culprits in causing suppression of the immune system, lowered health, open to all sorts of infections because the immune system is so weakened. And then you add on top of that pesticides, vaccines, toxic medical drugs, etc., etc. And now you can add the toxic chemical sprays that are being used indoors and outdoors against mosquitoes. And you have a recipe for disaster in these areas. So yes, absolutely. And this is always covered up. In the case of any epidemics where we're talking about areas as I'm describing now, where the people are obviously at risk all the time. Because
So it,
this
go
needs
ahead,
to be
go ahead.
covered up, you see. In other words, the authorities don't want to admit, hey, we have a chronic health crisis. This isn't just microcephaly. This is everything. This is the destruction, the disabling of populations. We have to find a cover story for this. We have to.
Otherwise, you're indicting the government of Brazil or whatever country and saying you should be spending billions of dollars more on infrastructure, sanitation. So it's easier to find the scapegoat of a mosquito-borne virus rather than indicting the government and making them spend money.
Yes, and it wouldn't take billions, you see. It's not like other programs where you just have to, spend massive amounts of money and there's all kinds of corruption and graft. There are many companies around the world, for example, that could go into these areas and clean up the water supplies and improve sanitation in short order. I mean, that's what they do, Just bring them in instead of let's have another task force report by some medical group like the World Health Organization. Oh yes, we did find there are these problems and so forth and malnutrition and lack of sanitation. Well, we know this already. Everybody knows this. But it doesn't take gigantic billions to make fast inroads on these problems and to raise the standard of health. And once the immune system gets stronger, then it's stronger against everything. That's the beauty of it. Whereas the medical paradigm is we always have to be looking for a virus. We have to blame, as you say, scapegoat the virus much easier than to admit and to actually prosecute the criminals who are keeping this horrendous system of life alive and maintaining it on purpose. Because, I mean, after a certain point, you can't say, we'd love to do something about it, but we can't, when actually you can. Knowledge
If
means complicity in terms of criminal behavior. If you don't do anything about it and it's easy to fix, then, you're committing the crimes. You're keeping this system of poverty basically alive, poverty and all that it implies.
women across Brazil, and perhaps as many as 29 other countries, are being warned to avoid getting pregnant for the next 2 years, what kind of an impact will that have on the population?
Another big question. Depending upon how long they keep this hoax going, we could conceivably see a missing generation. And I call this depopulation by press conference because it's certainly not science. It's just propaganda. You scare enough women into not getting pregnant who want to get pregnant, and you're now going to lower the population. And then you're always going to be able to invoke that fear again. 3 years, 5 years down the line, a decade, you can say, guess what? Zika is back. Ah, you got to be afraid again. Don't get pregnant anymore. Wait for us to somehow fix this outbreak, new outbreak, and then we'll let you know when it's okay. Meanwhile, don't travel to these 20 or 25 different countries. Be very afraid, etc., etc.
Depopulation by press conference.
You bet.
That's odious, but brilliant at the same time, isn't it?
Well, it's diabolical. I mean, we know that there has been a push for depopulation in certain quarters for a very long time. We know that research, for example, has gone on for decades and decades and decades at places like the Rockefeller Institute on vaccines that and other methods, medical methods that could create miscarriages, abortions, prevent pregnancy, and so on and so forth. And these have been supported by groups who, of course, don't claim that they're in favor of depopulation, but they say, you know, the real problem in these areas is overpopulation, and we have to do something in a humanitarian spirit in order to even out the population and so forth and so on. This is a total lie. This is total fabrication. That's not the problem. The problem is exactly what we've been talking about, the conditions of life in poverty-stricken areas. But then you add in this one factor that should make this whole proposition even clearer to listeners, and that is we're also talking about stolen land. We're talking about the expropriation of very fertile land all over the so-called third world by mega corporations, mining corporations, agricultural corporations, and so on, who go in, make deals with local rulers to basically invade these countries, use the poverty-stricken population as workers, cast them aside when they can't work anymore, bring new workers in, take over the land from the people. So we're also talking about the need to return good farmland to people so that they can become self-reliant, again, grow their own nutritious food, and survive well. So this is another vector, you might say, that has to be covered up. We can't be talking about this. We certainly can't talk about fixing it because, you know, the mega corporations are in charge, and so we have to find a scapegoat for what's happening to the people in these areas. And so inevitably we find some virus or another, we promote tremendous fear about it, and this obscures what is really going on.
So in terms of a depopulation agenda, it's not about the elites trying to foment some war or trying to create a plague or a famine. You scare the population into doing it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In this case, with the Zika virus, that's right. This is a new strategy. You know, this is something that we haven't seen before. This is instead of doing it in the traditional ways, we're just going to tell women to be very afraid. We're going to tell them, look, you know, gruesomely enough, your baby could be born with a very small head and brain damage, and none of that can be treated or ever fixed. So it makes sense for you not to get pregnant. Well, how long should I wait? Well, at least 2 years. We'll let you know when it's okay again. Well, that puts everything on hold for a whole lot of people, not just in Brazil, because this fear can be spread all over the world. And it's already, we're talking 20, 30 countries, you know, and you said at the top of the show, these estimates, as usual, are in the millions. Well, we predict 3 million cases of Zika virus all over the world and this and that. But you can spread this kind of propaganda anywhere. You can spread it to New York City. You can spread it to London, Paris, you know, India, anywhere you want to, as long as you can provoke enough fear to convince women not to get pregnant.
There was a case here in Canada, a woman returning from either Central America, South America. She came back to the country. She was pregnant, in the early stages of pregnancy. Did not qualify for the Zika virus test because she didn't show any symptoms, but wanted to be certain and insisted on getting the test, and because she didn't qualify, she threatened to abort.
Exactly. That's, you know, that's a perfect cameo of what's happening to untold numbers of women around the world right now who are in fear, in doubt. What are they going to do if they believe the propaganda? The last thing they want to imagine or conceive of or have happen is to give birth to babies or baby with this, you know, horrendous defect. So they're going to get an abortion or they're not going to get pregnant. That's what's going to happen. And depending upon how far the propaganda arms of the World Health Organization want to take this, how much fear they can invoke, as I said, we could be looking at a missing generation.
As you say, after the two years are up, they may say, well, Zika is back, so they could just keep, I mean, how long are they going to keep this ruse going?
Exactly how long? And usually what happens, as we've seen with other situations, other so-called epidemics, there is a return phase. Well, by the, quote, the heroic effort of public health officials cooperating around the world, blah, 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 we managed to stave off the spread this time. We came within a hair's breadth of a global catastrophe, but we managed to avert it. And then, 3, 4, 5 years later, you hear news, a new outbreak of Zika in whatever, you know, Malaysia. And it's traveling on airplanes, and we've already got a case in, you know, Montreal, and this, that, and the other thing. And again, the warnings go out. They could play this routine in intervals for, you know, into the foreseeable future.
Now, you mentioned that this is a new strategy, but I'm wondering whether or not they have been sort of ramping this up. Here in Toronto, of course, we were the subject of the SARS scare. Back a few years ago, and almost shut the city down. I mean, hospitals were quarantined, all over CNN, you know, don't come to Toronto. It hit us hard. And yet, you know, we were being told at the same time, all you need to do is wash your hands thoroughly. Was that kind of a test run for this?
You bet. All of these are test runs for the next one. This is mind control. This is conditioning the population to obey and comply and believe and accept, so that after 5, 6, 7 of these, you know, we start with, you know, the West Nile and SARS and swine flu and this one with Zika and Ebola and so forth, each one successively prepares for the next one. And I can tell you, in the case of SARS, which some people will still remember, 2003, as you say, the city of Toronto was basically shut down. Billions lost in business and tourism and so forth because of World Health Organization, again, advisory not to travel there. And I covered this very closely then. And a microbiologist named Frank Plummer, up in Canada, who was working for the World Health Organization, happened to wander off the reservation, as they say in the intelligence field, and he gave a couple of interviews to the press where he said, you know, it's very curious, but more and more what we're finding is that people with SARS don't have the SARS virus. The percentages of people diagnosed with SARS who actually we can find the virus is dropping and dropping and dropping. They have SARS, but, you know, they just don't have the virus. Well, that makes absolutely no sense. And eventually he said, it's down to almost zero. You know, I mean, this is like saying the cause of the flu is the flu virus. That's it. If you have the flu, you have the flu virus, because that's what we mean when we say you have the flu. Now, in these 6,000 cases, there's no flu virus, but we still maintain these people have the flu. That makes no sense. That's absurd. That's insane. But people can't handle that kind of cognitive dissonance, so they just accept the idea that these people have the flu or they have SARS or whatever. These people in Canada didn't have SARS. They had ordinary flu. And the so-called coronavirus, which was supposed to be the cause of SARS, they couldn't find it in people. They still diagnosed them with SARS. They still kept up the fear and the hysteria. And there was a move at one point, I know, in Toronto, a group was trying to mount, you know, billion-dollar lawsuit. And I believed it was aimed at the World Health Organization, but they just couldn't put it together because basically people were afraid. They just wouldn't support it, because they saw through the ruse and they realized they were just being, you know, robbed of their right to make a living by shutting down the city. And finally, as usual, it all just kind of, you know, floated away, and okay, that was that, and that was SARS, and that was the end of that story until the next one came along.
And this is the next one, the Zika virus.
Yeah, well, of course, we had the swine flu, and I mean, the scandals that I know about that are, just absolutely astonishing how
All right,
that.
John, listen, we're going to take a time out. When we come back, I want you to tell our listeners what the, while they've created the disease, we'll find out what the manufactured cure is, which is often the case, worse than the disease. We'll discuss that as John Rappaport stays with us. NoMoreFakeNews.com will also take your questions and comments here on Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us.